The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. Thursday. And I'm wearing the hat. Yeah, said it over the hat. They want it, and they want going away. The Flyers are good, man. Flyers are a good squad. If you watched the game last night, you heard that Pierre Maguire in his little glass booth going, I don't know why people aren't talking about the Flyers. They're really good. And they're really good. And they were approved last night. Now, I don't think it's the same Penguins team that it used to be, but that's irrelevant. You know, they hung in there, and then they wore them down and used their superiority later in the game to cement the game and really turn it into a rout. So a really good start for the Flyers, and they look real sharp, especially on the power play, where, you know, that was a problem for them last year. I look at the Flyers. Listen, the only thing I would like to see maybe is a little more offensive punch on line one. But other than that, I can't complain about anything they did last night. So it's going to be a good season. And hence, I pay tribute with the favorite hat in my collection right here. It's the raised Flyer logo. So we'll certainly talk about that with Flyer fans all day. And now it's the aftermath of your Philadelphia 76ers, which is a topic that we're going to get into probably very deeply today, since everything is now settled and we have to take inventory as to what the landscape is in the NBA and where the Sixers fit in. If you look at the odds today, I'm just doing this as a precursor, right? If you look at the odds, it has the Sixers in a comfortable third spot in the East, behind the Nets and the Bucks. That means they're ahead of the Heat. They're ahead of the Pacers. They're ahead of the Raptors. So they're in that spot. And if they're in that spot, could they actually make a dent in the superiority of those two teams that are ahead of them? That is the topic that we will discuss today. And so I have boiled it down to this. Number one, can they win in their current form without James Harden on the team? Two, will a scared Ben Simmons, and I say scared in the context of the word is out that he really didn't want to be traded to Houston and almost begged not to be traded to Houston, and that reminded me of AI, where they made it clear to AI, hey, Larry, why don't you go on Billy King's in there, you're going to trade you if you don't conform, and he got scared stiff, and he started to conform a little bit. Could that have the effect on Ben Simmons to open up his game where we need it to be? Number three, do they have to make another deal that would bring them closer? In other words, would they have to now focus on a Bradley Beal acquisition? Would they have to focus on a Zach LaVine and dangle Ben anyway? And of course, four, will you be able to come to grips with the fact and will you welcome it that they're just not going to do it this year, but you can watch them develop because they're off to a pretty good start with all these young players. So they're the four things that I look at, and we'll get into the teeth of that very shortly. But right now, it is time, Tyrone, for...
Hello. 97.5 The Fanatics, FU Money.
It's actually,
you win $500 right now.
That's actually the first time I did that smoothly all week. Four days in. It's time for 97.5 The Fanatics FU Money. Your chance to win $500 from us for you, Fanatic users. Just text the word CASH, C-A-S-H to 45911, or enter it on the 97.5 The Fanatic app or at 97.5thefanatic.com. That's the word CASH, C-A-S-H. One winner selected at random will win $500. Everyone that enters on the app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Get complete rules for this company-wide contest at 975thefanatic.com. It's all being presented by Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Is your furnace useless? Get it? F-N-E-U. Get 0% financing for 6 years on an HVAC system from Adam Mechanical. Good luck. Text the word cash. All right. So to get back to what I was trying to sink my teeth into here, it's a really good question because people have the idea that they still can win with this team. I don't think they can. I don't think that with this current roster that they can bite into where Milwaukee is right now and where the Nets are. And I know there are a lot of people say, well, James Harden's going to ruin that team. There's not enough basketballs in it. Let me explain something to you. When you got talent and you're trying to guard talent, you can't guard them. If everybody's talented and you have to double guys, then there's always another guy that's going to score. So, I, you know, talk about all you want about cancer. Talk about Kyrie being a nutbag. Talk about Harden being a cancer, going to strip, whatever it is. If it comes to basketball and you're judging talent, the Sixers can't bite into that. And nor can they, in my opinion, bite into the Milwaukee Bucks. But there's always a possibility of change to bite into it. And the change is, Ben changes, assumes his responsibility, which I don't have a lot of faith in. Or they actually go out and make another deal for a player that gets them closer. Not a Harden, because there's not a Harden out there, but another player that gets them a little closer. So let me throw it to Tyrone, who you will see on Sixers Outsiders tonight. Ty, how you feeling about the aftermath? No Harden, and now you proceed with what you have.
Yeah, I've been clear. The Sixers are a good basketball team. The Sixers, I think, will be a fun basketball team once they get everybody back. And they are a solid playoff team. And I thought that their ceiling before was the 3 seed. And looking at the current odds, that appears to be what Vegas thinks is going to happen, the 3 seed. And that's a nice season. But to answer your question of can they win as is, no. They cannot win as is. And to some people, hey, if you want to, some people have this thing, I want to win with my guys and I want to happen. So if that's your case, by all means, enjoy it. And I'm going to watch this team and enjoy when they win because a 3 seed is nothing to sneeze at, but they cannot win. I do not see a path in which they could beat the Nets or the Bucks in a playoff series. More the Nets, believe it or not, because we have been doing it in this city during this whole process, grossly underrated James Harden. James Harden is a great basketball player. Yeah. Now, he might be a terrible guy. If all those rumors are true, what I'm saying is I don't know if the league, I thought the same thing with Harden and Embiid. The league is not built to guard Harden and Durant. I don't think there's a way to do it. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. Simmons can only guard one of them. You're asking too much of guys. I don't think they can win. Yeah. As is. Now, you brought up the Ben Simmons thing.
Yes, let's talk about this because you have a lot more faith than I do when it comes to Ben.
Yes.
As far as learning how to do what he needs to do.
Yes, I do. But if this doesn't get him to try these things, I'm not even at the succeed point. For the Sixers to win, he would have to try different things and succeed at it. I'm not even at the succeed yet. He has to try different stuff. If he doesn't start doing it, I mean, immediately.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about the AI principle that I threw out there? That he was scared stiff.
And he won the MVP after that.
Right. So now Ben is scared stiff. He that's the new dawn that he sees.
I think it could happen, but I think there's another factor into it. I want to be here. He also has to recognize that right now, this minute, the best player on the team is not Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has to recognize that as of January 14th, 2021, the best player on the team is Joel Embiid. And therefore, he then has to adjust his mindset and think, what can I do to help make that guy better? I don't think Ben's ever thought like that for a single second in his life. And that's the difference with AI. AI was still the guy. Right this minute, maybe he can pass him, but right this minute, Embiid is the guy. And I don't know if, and he has to also record, why do I have to shoot that corner three? One, to stay in the city. The other thing, that helps the best player on the team.
Here's what I'll say. I can't blame the Sixers for not making the deal because it was just an outrageous deal that they probably could never top, right? So I can't blame them for not making the deal. However, I can't put myself into a fake optimism, and I'm frankly down because of the realities that are in front of me. And the realities are this. Ben is not going to change. And the reality is they're not good enough to take a bite out of the top two teams that are probably going to fight for this conference. So that puts me in a position where, what? I got to just sit back and acknowledge what the Sixers are and hope that something strange can happen to the point where they win the conference. And I'm a reality guy more than I am a dreamer.
What you would need is injury luck. Mm-hmm. Like the Raptors got some injury luck. They got a lot of injury luck. You would need injury luck. You need some things. The good thing about being the three seed is you're right there if you get some luck.
Mm-hmm.
But as is, I don't think it's realistic that they could win it unless Embiid goes to an even higher plateau, which I don't know if you can go from where he was last year to where he is now to an even higher plateau in 1 year. That seems almost unfair to ask. Or if Ben Simmons, though, but the Ben Simmons stuff is so simple. It may be impossible, but it's so simple. If he just starts to play a nominally normal NBA game, I don't know what that could possibly do for the team.
You see, what I'm doing here, I'm protecting myself.
Right.
And the protection of myself says, well, I'm not going to expect it. He's going to do something different. And therefore, then it doesn't get me frustrated every night.
Right.
So that's it's self-protection. And I think a lot of people do the same thing. So we'll talk about it. We'll sink our teeth into these issues today. And the Flyers, man, what a great debut for the Flyers at home. On the peak of a power play a couple times early in the game. They got a puck off a butt. They got a puck off a head. That's what you got to do in hockey.
They scored quick, too. To go from 4-3, they got that next goal quick. Like, boom, boom. They're a lot of fun to watch. They were a lot of fun to watch.
You know who else is a lot of fun to watch still? Sidney Crosby. I hate to say, that dude was all over the ice, man.
It's unbelievable how really good he still is. The little mistake that he makes, and then he knocks it out of the air.
Yeah, hand eye coordination takes to do that, spin around and control it. I know people don't want to hear it, but damn, dude. All right, here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show is on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
So we got some NFL action this weekend as the playoffs get to another level with the Rams Packers on Saturday, also Ravens Bills the night game, and then on Sunday Browns Chiefs and Buccaneers Saints. But there's also some Eagle issues to bat around, and we'll do that with our next guest, Paul Hebekidis, the great Hembo. You see him on Get Up. He is really the orchestrator of that whole show. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Hello, Hembo.
Mike, you missed. There is an awful lot that has happened in the world of sports since you and I spoke this time last week.
That is correct. So let's deal with the Eagle action first, all right? Mm-hmm. The coach, all of a sudden, on the hot seat, a day later, bang, he is fired, and now they are in a search. And then there was a ridiculous press conference by the owner of the team. I just let you sort out everything.
Okay, so my big picture takeaways would be this. The day after Doug Peterson inexplicably benched Jalen Hurts in the second half of that game against Washington, I texted you that a coach only does that if he knows he's not getting fired or wants to be fired. Well, as it turns out, it was B, because it seems to me at least that this feels more like a divorce than it does anything else. This is, the mom wants kids, the dad doesn't, and you just have to go your separate ways, because Jeffrey Lurie made it pretty clear in that press conference that he mangled, that the next 3, 4, 5 years are his priority, and I would imagine that he has the ear of Howie Roseman in making that, right? Doug Peterson, on the other hand, is a coach. He cares about 2021, and if he's not sort of invested in the long-term buy-in of that program, then this seems as good a time as any to get rid of the guy. And even though I am on record as saying that Carson Wentz was the biggest problem in 2020, look, I mean, this was, and the Eagles are the most disappointing team in the league this year. They played in the worst division in the history of the NFL, were the first team eliminated from it. And Doug Peterson was the only coach that returned from last season. So it's very difficult for me to sit here and argue in favor of Doug Peterson staying. I think ultimately they got this thing right.
I think they did too, but I disagree with you on the methodology, because that game that he threw, I think, was a direction from above. And the fact that that proves to me that he did everything they wanted, and finally he grew a set and went in there and said, no, this is my idea, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't good enough for what they have. Oh, you don't want to play ball anymore? Now you're gone. That's what I think happened.
That very well might be right. And it seems clear based on all the reporting after the fact that Doug was sort of fed up with this, right? Like he was wearing the season on his face throughout the season. And it seems like there's an awful lot of clutter sort of coming down from on high and making, you know, its way onto the football field. And no coach, especially one who had won a Super Bowl recently, would be comfortable with that. It's hard to blame it for it.
Yeah. See, I'm interested in your take though, because you go, yeah, they clearly want to rebuild, and part of that rebuild would have been like Jeffrey Lurie losing that last game to get a better draft pick. You don't see that?
Look, I don't know that we will ever know exactly why that happened that way. It's hard to know whether or not we should take anything that they say at face value. We probably shouldn't. There's a really good chance that Howie and Jeff had a conversation and said, we need to lose this game if at all possible, and Doug Peterson was sort of made the scapegoat for it. You definitely might be right about that, but up to that point, we had been led to believe very clearly that he was likely to return. So maybe they sort of, you know, let him out to the slaughter, and, you know, you being close to that situation, you could definitely be right about it. That's just not how I see it.
All right, let's look now at the quarterback situation, because it changed the dynamic there also. There are a lot of people that said there's no way that Carson came back with Doug, that the relationship was fractured. So now he goes, and now, you know, Carson, unless he lights it up, is going to be known as the coach killer if they try to bring him back. Where do you see that the quarterback situation going?
Yeah, that's right. And talking to all of our people this week, it seems clear that while it is not now guaranteed that Carson Wentz will be back, it is certainly a whole lot more likely than it was when you and I had this conversation a week ago. And it seems awfully likely to me that Jeffrey Lurie is a really big fan of the guy, right? Like, he gave Carson Wentz this massive contract. I think there's probably a decent amount of that engineering coming from on high. What I hope is that he doesn't make Carson Wentz's rehabilitation the primary means of his decision for next head coach. Like, if he's actually going to focus this program 3, 4, 5 years ahead, he needs to find someone that certainly, you know, views Wentz favorably, but not someone for, like, not a quarterback whisperer type who doesn't have any other kind of experience. We've seen a lot of teams hire coaches for that very reason and fail miserably. So I'm hoping they don't choose to overemphasize that in their process.
Are your NFL experts that show up on Get Up, are they endorsing that they can make it work with Carson Wentz? Or are they endorsing Hurts for a new coach? Like, what's going on in their heads about this?
So most people think that Carson Wentz is going to be back next year, probably more because of the financials than anything else. The only circumstance in which we see Jalen Hurts as being likely to be the Eagles' week one starter next season is if Jeffrey Lurie did find a way to lure Lincoln Riley here from Oklahoma, which would indicate theoretically that Lincoln Riley is a big fan of the player, right? That's really the only way. What I'm curious about is whether or not, should Carson Wentz be this sort of projected week one starter, whether or not Jalen Hurts can coexist with him, because we know for sure that Carson Wentz, based on all of that reporting at the end of the season, isn't all that comfortable competing or being in a potential backup role, right? So the Eagles might have to choose between those guys this offseason and move on from Jalen Hurts after year one, which would be fairly bizarre, but wouldn't stun me.
Yeah, and that's what I think the ultimate solution has to be. Oof, that they move on from Jalen Hurts and try to get value for him. Let's look at the potential coaches, because they're talking to everybody, including Kellen Moore, of all people. I can see where this is going to get really ridiculous, but where do you think they're going, and what are your NFL people saying?
The Eagles, like almost everyone else, are interviewing everybody, except they're sort of a week late in the process, although it doesn't seem like that's going to hurt them too badly, because the only guy that's sort of lined up so far is Urban Meyer, and obviously there was never any affiliation there. It wouldn't at all surprise me if we flirt pretty hard with both Ryan Day from Ohio State and Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma. We know that Jeffrey Lurie in the past has been willing to go the college route. And I think he's my guess, and because he prioritizes offense so much with his decisions in this regard, we'll look at their success at the college level, both in terms of their offenses collectively and their ability to develop quarterbacks year after year very positively. And if you're hiring one of those guys rather than a, say, hot coordinator, you know that at minimum they have the general head coaching skills and the college success to back it up. The NFL coordinator, like the hot coordinator type that I like most that's in the conversation for the Eagles, is Arthur Smith of the Tennessee Titans, who, for my money, has done more with the collection of talent than he has been given than any coordinator in the league right now. So that's sort of my reference on the matter.
Okay. All right. So if we look at this, let's look at the front office situation and what the NFL people are saying about how Howie Rosen was able to come out of that office still with his job. Peterson was not. And what the owner had to say about that and his justification of their talent selecting process.
Yeah, so that's a very difficult thing to reconcile, right? Howie Roseman seems to have nine lives. It seems like the equity that he built up from building that Super Bowl team in 2017 lasted a whole lot longer than obviously Doug's. And I think the fact that they share, they're up there in those palatial offices probably has a lot to do with that. There is really no way, though, that you can reconcile anything that Howie has done objectively the last few years in terms of the drafting, in terms of the trades, in terms of the free agents, and the player procurement at large has been really bad. And the Eagles are not only positioned very unfavorably from a financial standpoint right now, $51 million scheduled to be over the cap, and they've missed on a lot of these draft picks, and they have a full-blown quarterback controversy. So when you look at like sort of the foundational pieces of like a head coaching vacancy, I'm not sure that the Eagles don't rank very at the very bottom of that list, although that was the case last time too. And within 2 years, he won us a Super Bowl.
All right, let's move on to the business here and the little inside information and tidbits that the people can use for this round of NFL playoff games. Let's start with the Rams and Packers. A tough road to go through Lambeau, but a lot of people like the Rams in this game.
Yeah, and I do too. So Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers have only lost 7 games together, but all 7 losses have one thing in common, Mikey, man. Their opponents predominantly play zone defense in those games, and the Rams play the most effective zone in the league, allowing a QBR of 35 and a touchdown interception ratio of 5-9. And on a per-play basis, this Rams defense is actually in line to be the best unit since the 2015 Broncos. That team beat Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady and MVP Cam Newton and won the Super Bowl.
You sniffing outright?
I can't go there with Jared Goff, Edward Scissorhands, but like I think there's a real chance that you take the Rams, +6.5, +7, and the under in this
okay.
game.
All right, let's move on to the night game Saturday. Ravens at the Bills. Bills rolling, but they're only favored 2.5 in this game.
And this one, as a wise man would occasionally say, this is a bit of a smelly line, and I'll tell you why. The Ravens have rushed for 1,573 yards over their last 6 games, Mike. That's the highest total in a 6-game span since the 1949 Eagles of NFL championship fame. Meanwhile, the Bills have only lost 3 times this season, but allowed 601 yards rushing in those games. And though Buffalo is a slight favorite in Vegas, the old ESPN Football Power Index actually favors Baltimore by a hair in this one.
Okay, let's move on to Sunday. This looks like blowout city based on all the circumstances. I think the Browns had their shot. They shot it, and now they're up against the Chiefs in a double-digit line here.
That's how I see it, too. But I will provide a blueprint. Teams to beat Patrick Mahomes owned a +129 play advantage in those games. So not surprisingly, history says the Browns will need to sustain long scoring drives to have any chance to win it. But you know this well. With 2 weeks to prepare, Andy Reid teams are 20-3 in the regular season and 6-2 in the playoffs. That's 26-5 overall. Mike, that's the best record of any coach in the Super Bowl era. And he's 21-10 against the number in those games, for what it's worth.
All right, final game. Oh, everybody loves the Buccaneers in this game, which is totally disrespectful to the Saints, who are a 3-point favorite at home, a normal line. What's up with this game?
So the Saints generate pressure with their front four at the highest rate in the NFL. And the last time they saw the Bucs, Brady saw his highest pressure rate in a game in 4 years. But that Tampa O-line has since gotten its act together. Tom Brady has only been contacted 16 times in 8 games since that Week 9 loss. Further, over his last 5 games, Brady has completed 77% of his passes for more than 10 yards per attempt with 5 touchdowns when targeting Antonio Brown, who wasn't really a factor in either of those games. So if you want to dream on the Bucs, you do have some data with which to do it. Mm.
All right. Hemba, always a great time to talk to you. And thanks for the info. And we'll be following what's going on this weekend and talk to you later.
You're a good man.
There he is. Hemba, Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce 4.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.